Good morning. Today's scripture reading is Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 to 9, page 135 in your pew Bible. Miriam and Aaron opposed Moses. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Had the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked, hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them went out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When the two of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When there are prophets of the Lord among you, I reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Mary. I'm going to invite my good friend Chris up. People of Peace, can you remember Chris from last year? His last name is not pronounced Mukwavi. It's Mukwavi. Just getting the African pronunciation right. So, friends, for those of you who don't remember Chris, Chris is a good friend of mine who I got to know at Regent College when we studied together over there a couple of years ago. Chris is the senior pastor of a large church in Lusaka, Zambia. And in actual fact, Chris, you planted that church, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
And the church celebrated 20 years of ministry this year. He's also a very prominent evangelical leader in his country, and he is a well-known guest speaker across the African subcontinent. He preaches regularly in my country and actually in many other parts of the world. So we are very, very privileged to have Chris here with us this morning. And Chris was just sharing something with me in the car on the way here. Their church has also been doing some neighborhood outreach, and they had an outreach event a few weeks ago, and I think you said something like 50 people came forward and came to know the Lord and have continued to be part of that congregation going forward. So their church is also doing and seeking to do neighborhood outreach as we are as well. Chris, can I pray for you, brother?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again that you are here with us by your Spirit. And Lord Jesus, I pray right now, Lord, that you would anoint Chris, oh Lord, with your Spirit, that you'd fill him with your words, that his words would be your words for us. And I pray, oh Lord, that you'd open our hearts to receive your word. We ask all of this, oh Lord, in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Blessings, brother.
Thank you, Winston.
He's also a Pentecostal pastor.
Well, why did he say that? Okay. Well, I'm glad to be here, and greetings to you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring greetings from my family, my wife, Catherine, and our daughters, and also bring greetings to you from Living Hope Church, the church where I serve in Lusaka. Lusaka is the capital city of Zambia. It was great to be with you last year when I first came here, and I was looking forward to coming this year when Winston and Sharon once again invited me to come. And I believed I may not have caused any trouble when I came last time, so that's why maybe I've been welcomed back. Well, it's exciting to be able to read God's word today and look forward to what the Lord is going to minister to us through this word this morning. I've been around the last 2 weeks. I preached first at Redemption Church in Vancouver, and also went for pastors' conference in Winnipeg. I just got out of there yesterday when it was getting into -3. I thought I should quickly come to Vancouver. Yeah, so I'm glad that I'm here. So looking forward to going back home later this week. Now, the passage of scripture that we have read makes interesting reading and probes into our own spiritual lives. I don't know if some of you, if there are many of you among us here, you have wondered why you are not in the spotlight. You've wondered why certain people tend to be more recognized than you. What would you do when you have worked so hard in this community and then somebody else is recognized? Perhaps you even have better gifts than them. What would you do when your name is not even mentioned? This brings a lot of disturbance and a lot of questions to our lives. And this morning, the Lord would want us to come to a point where we begin to appreciate the gift of wholeness in ministry when you bring all the gifts together and all the talents together, and then you can be able to achieve wholeness. You can never achieve wholeness by yourself or by your own ingenuity or intelligence. Now, the passage of scripture we have just read happens in the context when the children of Israel are on the move to go and occupy the promised land. But there's a lot of trouble along the way as Moses leads them. They are pulling in different directions, and there's disagreements, and there's grumbling and complaining. Now, in chapter 11, chapter 11, we see that God comes down and speaks to Moses, and he asks him to find 70 elders among the people and go and meet God in the meeting place. And then God said he would get out of Moses' spirit and put upon the people so that they all had Moses' spirit. They all would have Moses' kind of culture of doing things, and that they may flow as one as they go to the promised land. And this happens exactly. And when the spirit was put upon them, basically it's the spirit of God that was put upon them, the Bible said they prophesied. Two people, Meldad and Eldad, were not among them, and they prophesied outside the camp, and they were almost being stopped. Moses said, "No, anyone that has received the Spirit, let them prophesy, for I wish that all God's people were prophets." Now, I wonder whether Miriam and Aaron were part of that group of the 70 that had received the Spirit that could make them work in wholeness. It looks like they may not have been there, because trouble still continues. Moses is receiving trouble now from his own siblings, and they rise up against him. Now, dear friends, fulfilling one's purpose must be the goal in our lives. We must find what our purpose is in life and determine to fulfill that purpose. And it is God who bestows his purpose upon each one of our lives. The drive to occupy the spotlight in wherever we serve will only lead to frustration and image damage in your life. You know, we do not, look for the spotlight, but we look for opportunities to serve God with the gifts that he has put upon every one of us. So we must bring all our inadequacies that we may have acquired along the line and bring them at the foot of the cross. We all come from different backgrounds. We have grown up differently. Maybe you are not the favorite child in the home. Maybe you are not the favorite student in your school. And because of that, you begin to accumulate various attitudes and baggage that begins to work against your life, and you want to fight your way to make sure you are recognized. But here we have the cross of Jesus that comes to clear off all of our inadequacies so that we can receive the one Spirit that makes us one, save us one, work us one, and live as one. Are you following what I'm saying? Thank you. Okay, so if I ask a question like that, you simply say yes or amen. Okay, thank you. Now, when you look at this passage of scripture, you look at these characters mentioned in here, we see that Aaron was an accomplished speaker. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 14 to 6, when God is giving instructions to Moses to take the children of Israel from Egyptian captivity to the promised land, Moses begins to feel this sense of inadequacy. He wants to find an excuse, and he tells God that, look, God, I am not a good speaker. I've never been a good speaker. In fact, I stammer. But then God tells him and says, look, Moses, is it Aaron, your brother, on his way coming to meet you? He's going to be your spokesperson. I'll speak to you, then you speak to Aaron, and Aaron is going to announce to Pharaoh. So we see that Aaron was a good speaker. He was a better speaker even than I am and anybody else. If Aaron was here, you would all want just to listen to Aaron and not to Moses. Now we also see that Miriam was a prophetic person. When they just crossed the Red Sea and they are rejoicing and celebrating in chapter 14, verse 20 to 21 of Exodus, we see that Miriam rises up and begins to lead the people of God in song and celebration, and she begins to prophesy and to inspire the people. So the people are encouraged and they are excited, and they forget the ruggedness of the desert journey they are going to take. They are upbeat and they are pumped up and they are on their way to the promised land. Why? Because of the prophetic gifts of Miriam. So we see that Aaron and Miriam combined together, they have rare gifts. But these gifts do not take them into the spotlight. They would have loved to be in the spotlight. But we see that Moses is a stammerer. Moses is a kind of the Apostle Paul, who is not so eloquent like Apollos would be so eloquent or Cephas. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when there are divisions in the Corinthian church and people are divided, we belong to Paul, we belong to Peter, we belong to Apollos, but the Apostle Paul writes to them, correcting them of their notions that it's not about each one of these. No, it is about the grace of God, which he distributes abilities upon each one so that they may serve him. So God gives supernatural abilities to whom he chooses with no regard to status. So in this scenario, we see that God had given a particular ability to Moses, and the ability was to lead God's people to the promised land. As it is in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, I don't know if we have that passage of scripture to be shown there, or I can quickly be turning to some of those passages there. I just want to particularly read this one, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, that we may understand that it is the grace of God that is distributed upon each one to participate in God's work as they should. Yes, the Bible says, not there quick enough. Okay, the pages are sticking together here. Okay, so you can see that it's a borrowed Bible. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Sober judgment is the key, to think of ourselves more soberly. So this is a message to Aaron here to begin to think of himself more soberly. The message to Miriam here to begin to think of herself more soberly, because they are thinking of themselves, of these particular gifts that have been given to them, and they have misplaced their thinking. They think the gifts that were given to them was to occupy a prominent place in leading the people of Israel to the promised land. But all of us need to come to a moment when we think of ourselves that we have not achieved anything at all in whatever we do. It is God who has enabled us to do whatever we are doing. Now, this is what I'm saying here. God wants each one to settle down in their service roles given by the grace of God. All of us have been given roles with which to serve God, and we have been given platforms at which we are going to serve God, and we need to settle down on that and at those levels. So we need to minister and participate in ministry from the position of wholeness, from the position of strength. And the church will attain wholeness in service when believers avoid the struggles for recognition but appreciate the levels of grace assigned to each one for fruitful service. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, the Apostle Paul is very clear on this one as he talks about the immense and enormous salvation that God has bestowed upon the church. And as he talks about the ministry and the growth of the church, he talks about Christ building his church and assigning specific people with roles of leading the church, training the church, teaching the church, and preparing the church for the work of ministry. So in verse 7 to 8, he says that, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men." What does "he ascended" mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. So God has enabled each one of us to serve him. But among all of us that are serving with different gifts, he isolates certain people to take leadership responsibilities of service, to lead the rest of us, so that we may accomplish the purposes for which God has called us. Furthermore, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So we have received these gifts to minister to one another. So Aaron and Miriam had received gifts to minister to the body of Israel as they moved to the promised land. It was not about who should take recognition. It was not about who should occupy the center stage or have a big name. It was about each one faithfully participating at their given roles. Now, how are we going to make sure that we appreciate the levels of grace assigned to each one for fruitful service? Number one, recognize that leaders are gifted differently. All of us are gifted differently, and the leaders that God has given us are gifted differently. They have their strengths, they have their pronounced gifts, they have their most accomplished areas of participation, and we are all not going to be the same. We are going to be different. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 5 to 18, going back to this passage of scripture, we see a problem arises here in verse 5. The Lord comes down and he comes to confront Aaron and Miriam.
And then both of them step forward and God reminds them. He says, listen to me. When I speak through the prophets, I reveal myself to them through visions and dreams. But Moses is not an ordinary leader. Moses, I speak to him face to face. And Moses sees a form of God. So Miriam and Aaron needed to recognize that, simply recognizing that Moses was different. He had a different role. So God had a specific role for Moses. Moses had been tried and tested in his leadership role. He was tested for 40 years when he was in the wilderness serving his father-in-law. He went through hardship. He went through pain. And in that, God was shaping him. God was shaping his character. God was shaping, you know, and molding his life. And God was working on his sensitivity that he might hear the voice of God and that he might be open to the leading of the Spirit. We see that Moses had become God's confidant in regard to the covenant mission of taking the children of Israel to the promised land. So Moses had this specific role that was different from Miriam and Aaron. He was God's confidant. Now Moses was a person that really was defenseless amidst all the struggles he had in leading these people. He was defenseless, except God coming to his help. He really remained at the mess of all those people that were tearing in every direction. So let us not compare ourselves, our gifts and talents with the graces that are given to those that are over us. In verse 2, God says that, has the Lord, you know, Miriam and Aaron says, has the Lord spoken only through Moses? They asked. Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this and God was very upset with them. Very upset with them. So it doesn't really matter whether I can prophesy more than my leader, I can do this more than my leader. I have a role to serve the needs of that leader. This is what God is trying to make as a point of emphasis to Aaron and Miriam. Secondly, don't wrestle leaders placed in the spotlight. Don't wrestle leaders placed in the spotlight. In 8b to 9, we are told, verse 8b to 9, says, with him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord burned against them, and God left them. That was very sad for Aaron and Miriam, that the presence of God should leave them. Now, when the presence of God leaves you, then you begin to go through the disciplinary process of God so that you come in line with his purposes and attend to the wholeness of ministry. So godly fear should undergird all of our ambitions. Are we ambitious for anything? The fear of the Lord must undergird all that. And what Aaron and Miriam do here is that they begin to look for faults and weaknesses in Moses. They begin to find spots where they could punch a hole in Moses' life, because Moses was too strong for them. Maybe according to their judgment, they felt he was God's favorite. And they wanted to bring him down. They wanted to pull him down. To put him down. So they pick up on him concerning his marriage. Moses had married a Cushite woman instead of an Israelite woman. So they begin to talk about that. Now, that marriage, God was was not against it. He had not spoken against it. It was neither legal nor sinful, but they found an excuse. Whatever they could, they want to find a weakness. Have you ever seen people like that? No matter how best you do, no matter how good you perform in school, no matter how high you fly in your grades, they still find a weakness in your life. They want to bring you down. They want to bring you down. No matter how successful you become, they want to bring you down. But I want to encourage you that it's not about what people may do in your life that should discourage you, but it's about what God has enabled you to be, to do, and to become that should encourage you and propel you to participate in the wholeness ministry of God. Aaron and Miriam looked out for these weaknesses. Now, strengthening others is a great calling. They forgot that their gifts were to strengthen Moses, particularly Aaron. Aaron was called, singled out by God to strengthen the weaknesses of Moses in his speech. That was his role. It doesn't mean that because Aaron spoke so well, then he should be over Moses. His role was to strengthen, and only God knew how or what Aaron's ministry would turn out to be. Where are we now? We should be going to the third point. Settle in your own role. Once you discover your role of ministry, you need to settle down in your role. It's very important that each one of us pray and ask God to help us discover what He wants us to do in our service for Him. And once we find that and discover it, we need to settle down in that role. We need to let our passions and our drive be towards fulfilling our roles, either in the ministry of the church or in the kingdom of God or at workplaces, wherever we may be found. Aaron's role was purely to support Moses. That was his role. We see that Aaron, you know, left on his own, he failed the test. Aaron could not stand without Moses. When Moses went to receive the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 32, verse 22 to 24, we see there was a disaster here. The people came to Aaron and they said, "We want to be like other people around us. Why don't you make us a god? This Moses has taken too long. He went to the mountain and he has taken too long." And then he makes a calf for them. And when Moses comes down, he finds people are playing a harlot with this idol. From verse 22 to 24, the Bible records, as Moses is angry with Aaron, he says, "Do not be angry, my Lord," Aaron answered. "You know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, 'Make us gods who go before us.' As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. So I told them, 'Whoever has any gold, jewelry, take it off.' Then they gave me the gold and I threw it into the fire and out came this calf." Now this was an excuse. He carefully molded this calf. He listened to them. He failed to take leadership. Moses had left him with a responsibility and he failed the test. Miriam's role was prophetic to inspire the people, not to bring her brother down. That was her role. Now, every role that is fulfilled faithfully is graciously rewarded. God had a plan for Miriam and Aaron. They were just impatient. They were impatient. I don't know what kind of home they grew up in. I don't know what they had experienced in their lives. But it looks like they had unhealthy tendencies in their attitudes to leadership positions. We need to have healthy tendencies towards our attitude towards leadership positions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8, let's remember this. That God who has called each one of us is faithful. God does not just wink over our labors in his kingdom. God watches with keenness at what we do. And that's why in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians and verse 8, the Apostle Paul records, the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. So if you are just a planter and the other one is a tenderer, is weeding, another one is watering, you are all doing one job from different aspects of that job. You are all participating in the wholesome way, and the fruit is going to be as a result of each one's participation. And God will reward each one according to their service. I suppose Aaron must have been dead worried, dead anxious as to what would become of him. Is he going to have a big name once they go to the promised land? In Exodus chapter 28, verse 1, in spite of Aaron and all his mistakes, we see that God remembers him. God remembers his supportive role. God remembers his sacrifices. God looks back not at his weaknesses and his failures, but he looks back at the roles he played in supporting Moses. And what does God do? God raises Aaron up to occupy the leadership of the priesthood. God raises not just Aaron, but also his family to occupy that forever. In verse 1, God speaks to Moses, says, have Aaron, your brother, brought to you from among the Israelites, along with his sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Itamar, so they may serve me as priests. Make sacred garments for your brother Aaron to give him dignity and honor. Tell all the skilled men to whom I have given wisdom in such matters that they are to make garments for Aaron for his consecration, so he may serve me as priest. Do you see what God does? But why wasn't Aaron patient? Why? So God overlooks all failures that Aaron had, and he bestows this honor of the priesthood not only on him, but on his generation. Don't look down at the role that God has given you. If it is the role to support in ministry, if it is the role just to hold a microphone for somebody who's singing, that role has dignity. It is respected because it is God who has given you. And he who has given to you is faithful. He's faithful. He's not going to abandon you. He who has given to you, there's a day that is going to reward you. He will reward you with a fruit of righteousness. He will reward you with joy. He's going to reward you with you witnessing the harvest of souls all over the world. So be faithful to each role that God has given you. Has God given you the role to support the ministry with resources that are placed in your care? Be faithful in that. Is your role to keep the gardens? Is your role just to keep the buildings and maintenance and all that? Be faithful to that role. In that role, God is going to prosper you, encourage you, reward you, and let your ministry blossom. I want you to remember this. Frustrating those whose gifts take them into the spotlight will only delay our own progress. What happens is that when God is angry with Aaron and Miriam, and he pronounces judgment on them in terms of discipline, we see that Miriam is filled with leprosy all over her body instantly. And Moses began to intercede. Look at the humility of Moses. Moses would have seen, oh, good for her. But Moses begins to intercede, God, have mercy. Have mercy upon my sister. And then God said, look, we have to follow the process. Let Miriam be taken outside the camp. And let her, you know, go through the whole system that I've established for discipline and cleansing. And then after that, you can be on the move. What does this do? It delays the movement of God's people to the promised land. They could not move until Miriam was brought in. So this is what frustrations in gifts and with regards to occupying a spotlight can do in one's life. God's work is always slowed down when we hinder the gifts of others. Let's concentrate on our gifts. Let's do them to the best of our abilities that others may be encouraged. I have a friend in Lusaka, Zambia, who's quite a high-profile minister in the church. You know, this person, you know, is recognizable. Everybody talks about him. But there's a segment of people that are not happy with him. They look for weaknesses in his life. Now, this person has risen to such prominence that even the government, every succeeding government in our nation, recognizes this particular man of God in our country. But there are people that come to me and they say, have you seen this in him? Have you seen this in him? This is all just to puncture holes in his life. I had an opportunity last year to travel with this person. And out of all those people with prominence in the country, he chose me to accompany him to go and solve a problem in another denomination in another country. So I went with him. And then I discovered that this person was actually high profile. He gets to travel under a diplomatic passport. And he found I'd already checked into the airport, and he arrives and the plane was waiting for him. So he calls me up. No, don't exit through there. Come. And he sends somebody to come and follow me. And I go to the VIP lounge where the diplomats pass through. And they have to carry my bag and they have to carry my passport. And I said, wow, this is the profile that this person occupies. And he had booked for me to travel. I had to travel first class. I said, wow. Now, all the duty I had was to support him on that mission, encourage him and take notes in the meetings and just occupy that role and not to go back and say, oh, wow, he snores. No, that was not my role, to look for weaknesses. No, God had given him that prominence. So you find there's a struggle for people to occupy prominence. I was flying into this place from my country, and when you're flying and going to different places, then they begin to call people to board. Can we have the first class people come? Can we have the second class? Can we have the platinum? Can we have the gold? Now, I noticed there's a little change to that, though it's still the same. They say, can we have group one? Can we have group two? Can we have group three? Can we have group four? Now, group five and everybody else. And on WestJet, you hear, oh, can we have zone one, zone two? It's the same thing. They realized that people were clinching and saying, wow, I want to be there, I want to be there. So they are trying to change. No, what can heal that is the change of attitude. It doesn't matter what class I fly, but when I get home, I know I'll be welcomed first class. So you are not home yet. Serve God faithfully, and when you get home to your heavenly Father, Jesus will be standing and say, well done, my faithful servant. So let us experience healing from any inadequacies that we may have grown up with and developed and picked up along the way in our interactions. Let us experience healing from God, that we can be healed, receive one spirit, and serve God with one spirit, and serve God faithfully, commit ourselves wholesomely to the work of God. Shall we do that? and just, you know, respond to the grace of God and let the grace of God work in our lives and gift us differently. If we do not know our gifts, let's pray that God may show us what our gifts are. If we are floundering in our gifts, let's pray that the Spirit of God may strengthen us, strengthen our resolve that we may serve God wholesomely. I want us to stand to our feet now as we reflect on this word and just pray. Just pray and give thanks to God. And please stand to your feet if you can. What I want to do by the grace of God, I want to pray a prayer of faith for you. I want to pray for those that are saying, Pastor Chris, I don't even know what my gifts are. I don't know how I can serve God. I want to pray that the Spirit of God will begin to show you what your giftings would be and what your areas of strength would be. You may be here, you may be saying, Pastor Chris, I need my gifts to be strengthened in the body of Christ that I can serve God wholesomely. I want to pray that the grace of God can strengthen you. So let's just close our eyes as we reflect on this. The first category of people, you are saying, Pastor Chris, I don't know what my gifts are. May you pray that the Spirit of God may show me. I want you to raise your right hand and I'll pray for you right where you're standing. Just raise your right hand. Yes, I see those hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray committing these, your dear ones, into your hands. They don't know what gifts you have given them with which to serve in the body. I pray that through the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit, you point out to each one what gifts you have given to them. And I pray that even now, Holy Spirit, you may touch their hearts. You may inspire their hearts. You may illuminate their minds. That you may strengthen their resolve, oh God. And that, oh Father, you may clearly show them that gift. Let it be prominent in their lives, in Jesus' name. I want to pray for the second category. You're saying, Pastor Chris, I want to be strengthened in my gifts that I may serve God with a strong resolve. Please raise your right hand as I pray for you as well. Father, in the name of Jesus, I do pray for my brothers and sisters whose hands are uplifted, that, Lord, they need your strength, they need your encouragement to serve you faithfully with their gifts. Lord, they may have gone through various discouragements. I pray that, Lord, you alone may encourage them. I pray that, Lord, you alone may recognize them, that, Lord, you alone may appreciate them. They may not have been appreciated, and what they have then done may not have been seen, but you see everything, oh Lord God. Father, I pray that you may, yes, pour your Spirit upon them, strengthen them, give them power with which to serve your God, so that the gospel of the kingdom may be expanded all over the world. And Lord, for the entire community of Peace Mennonite Church here, I pray for them that, Lord, they are going to occupy the stage where you want them to be. That they are going to occupy the place in your grace, oh God, to be an impact to this city in the name of Jesus Christ. Grant wisdom, oh God, to Pastor Winston and the leadership of the church, that, Lord, they may go in your grace. Father, I pray that you may release your blessing upon this church, even your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. God bless you.
Okay, thank you.
Well, stay here, brother. Brothers and sisters, I know you'd want to join me in saying thank you to Chris for just bringing such a powerful word to us this morning. And thank you, Chris, for that wonderful prayer over all of us who are here. Some of us needing that word of encouragement, some of us needing to find what God is calling us to, and all of us as the people of God, wanting to reach out to our neighborhood and beyond, needing the Lord's Spirit and strength to guide us.